It's Christmas Insight. Our goal is we are getting insight from those who are there so that it can help us have Christmas insight. And so we're going to look at the shepherd's story this morning, the shepherd's story in Luke chapter 2. And we're going to look primarily at verses 8 to 21. But it was just read for you, and I want to recap what was shared with you. In the first seven verses here in Luke chapter 1, we see the rest of the story of Mary and Joseph. We've heard their stories leading up to this point. But just to highlight a couple things, you heard them say they had to travel to Bethlehem to register for the census. That was Joseph's hometown. And then it says there, in the new NIV, it says no guest room was available. The old writing said there was no room in the inn. That's really a bad translation. Bethlehem was a small town and generally wouldn't have like an inn in our what we would think of as an inn. And so it's really kind of got lost in translation over the years. And now they've kind of corrected themselves in a lot of the newer versions of Scripture. There was no guest room available. And there's two possibilities here for this. Everybody had to go to their hometown to be registered. Generally, the towns, the houses that they lived in at the time, they would build onto the house for other family members. As the family grew, as people got married, they would literally add onto their family house, right? So they'd add rooms and spaces. And there was oftentimes a guest room available when family came. And so the strong possibility is here, they got to the place of their family origin and the guest room wasn't available. Somebody else beat them there. Or maybe, possibly another possibility here and a strong possibility here. Last week we talked about Joseph's story and the fact that they were having a baby before the marriage ceremony had been consummated. That they were betrothed, pledged to be married. That was a written contract, but the marriage ceremony happened oftentimes a year to nine months to a year later, and you, in that culture, did not have a child before that ceremony. If you did, it brought shame on you. So another possibility is they got there and the family said, nope, you can't have that room. They end up in some form of either a room for livestock or some shelter or cave, depending on which historical record you hear from. We know that because Jesus is placed in a manger, feeding trough. And so that brings us here to Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 14 here. And let's reread that. They read part of it for us. Let's look at it again. Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8, it says, "And there were shepherds living out in fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests.'" So let's just look at this for a second. And I want to give you some background information on these shepherds. They were living out in fields, and we'll come back to that in a second. They were living out in fields nearby. They were known, these shepherds in Bethlehem were known to take care of the temple flock. And the temple flock were used for several different things, feeding those who worked at the temple, and also the sacrificial lamb that would take away the sins of the world. So there's so much foreshadowing going on in this story, in this narrative, and the reason why the shepherds find out. However, the shepherds were known to have sticky fingers. They were known to take things that weren't theirs. And so they were not the most reliable, trustworthy people. On top of that, their testimonies were also not reliable. They weren't allowed to give testimony in legal matters involving the courts. They weren't trusted to not tell a fib or some other story or to not back up what really happened. And so they were generally not believed. Yet, for some reason, the God of the universe chose the least of these, the unreliable, to be the first besides the family of Jesus to hear about his birth. And I think that's awesome. Then it says, an angel of the Lord appeared to them. We've heard these stories of the angel as we've been going through the story, the angels appearing. The first several, we got a name, Gabriel. With Joseph, we didn't get a name. And now here, we don't get a name either. It's obviously, for whatever reason, not important to Luke, who was a historian who wrote this book. And then it says, the glory of the Lord shone around them. And I don't want us to just pass by that. So imagine you're the shepherds. You're out in the fields. The only light that is really visible is the stars. And all of a sudden, this angel appears and starts to speak to them. The glory of the Lord is related to the brilliance or splendor of the sun. So they're out there in the fields minding their own business, hanging out with the sheep, and all of a sudden it's like the sun turned on, it becomes day. And there is a being in the sky speaking to them. What the angel says is, good news is coming that will cause great joy for all people. And this is a little rewrite of the script. They were under the impression that the Messiah who would come would be for the Israelite people only, not for the whole world. And so for them to say this is for all people was widening the scope of even their limited understanding as shepherds. And then it says a Savior. He is the Messiah. The definitive article is used right before Messiah. The Messiah, not to be confused with any others. At the time, there was at least 7 other people that claimed to be the Messiah at the time of Jesus. And so the angels are making a point to let the shepherds know, hey, listen, I'm telling you about the one that you've been waiting for. This is the one. In the Greek, it says Christos, which literally means anointed one. The anointed one has come. It's a Greek translation of the Hebrew. And then the angel says, he will be lying in a manger. And this is very important for the shepherds because they're hearing this crazy story. And it can possibly found out. But this little qualifier here would be completely uncommon to them. Babies normally would be wrapped in some kind of cloth, but never placed in a feeding trough, ever. I would never do that. You would never do that. This would have stuck out to them. And it's kind of, I think it's fascinating because these shepherds were known for their grandiose stories, and now all of a sudden they're hearing what would seem like to them a grandiose story. And then they were joined by a heavenly host. And the implication here from the text is the army of God, or soldiers from heaven, appear with them in the sky. So they have this brilliance of the angel radiating the splendor of God, and a host army. I can't even fathom what that must have looked like for them. And so there was a reason that for their terror and a reason for their terror as they sat there. But then that army says something that most armies wouldn't say. Generally in battle, it's, I'm going to kill you. You better get out of my way. Instead, they brought an opposite story. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. And I want to highlight peace there, because at this time, there was chaos in the government. There was chaos in their lives. The Roman Empire at the time was trying to settle everything down, but there was a lot of chaos. Herod the king at the time was a loose cannon. He was killing family members who encroached on his crown. And so there was a lot of chaos going on. And so the fact that this army says to them, on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests, was really important. And just like that, they're gone. It's been a crazy year for us in 2020. And some of us are looking forward to 2021, not knowing if 2021 is going to be any different than 2020. The other night, I took our dog Phoebe out to walk around, to stretch her legs, to go to the bathroom. And after the snow had fallen, And we live up in Upper Nyack, and generally there's some noise going on. We live near 9W, and oftentimes you'll hear like a truck going by, or you'll hear this or you'll hear that. And my dog is constantly distracted by all those noises. We go outside, and it was just complete calm. The snow had kind of glazed over and kind of hardened, and all you could really hear was our footsteps. And we just stood there, the both of us, and she was like, and she's like looking at me like, where is all the noise? And I just sat there for a moment and just enjoyed the peace and the calm, because it's been a noisy, crazy year. And the reality is, Jesus coming in bodily form for you and for me is to give that same peace to your soul. That's what he brings. As we highlight peace this morning, and peace is spoken of by this army, God wants to impart that into our soul, so our soul becomes as it ought to be, at rest and at peace. Let's continue the story. As we look at 8 to 14 here. Actually, as we look at 15. Let's look at 50. Go to 15. When the angel of the Lord had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that had happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. On the eighth day, when it was time to be circumcised for the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was even conceived. Just look at a handful of these things. The angels leave, and then they say, all right, let's go. The peace, the calm, it settles in, but there seems to be no indication from the text that the angels waited at all. They took off to go and find this little one. And they focus on the fact that the Lord has told us about. So this crazy thing they had seen, these angels in the sky, and this one angel and then the host. It's indication from the text here that they believed what they had seen, and they understood that this was from the Lord. Again, the definitive article, not any other Lord, not some crazy person, the Lord of hosts. And then they found him exactly as the angel said, lying in the manger. When they had seen Jesus, I think this is really important. Once they had seen him, then they spread the news. These are a group of guys that are used to telling grandiose stories. They didn't stop and run around and go, guys, guess what? We just saw some angels in the sky. It was amazing. It was awesome. And start spreading that story. They went to investigate the story that they had heard first. And then once they met Jesus, then they told the story. And this is crazy. The ones who are generally not believed, the ones who couldn't give their testimony in courts, the ones who, when they told a story, it was like, oh yeah, whatever. All who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. This amazed word is marveled. They took it in. They wondered. It's not amazed. All right. It's, whoa. They pressed in, the people that heard. And because of that, because they were believed, they went back to the hillside and praised God. At the end of this week, on Friday, is December 25th. And we'll retell this story. And I don't know if you've ever investigated some of these things before, but if you don't know why we celebrate on December 25th, let me just explain it to you. There was a Roman historian named Sextus Julius Africanus, and he was a historian for the Roman Empire in the 300s. And he read Luke's account, and he read Matthew's account, and he did all this investigation, and he came to the conclusion in his mind that Jesus was conceived on March 25th. And so 9 months later would be December 25th. And in 336 AD, Constantine made it so, and we've been celebrating it in the Western world on that date from here on out. Others had it dated at January 6th, and we've had this discussion on and off for centuries. Some say it was placed there to combat other religious ceremonies at the time. It was a political tug and war. We have disagreements about the fact that the shepherds were in the fields, and even though it's an arid place, generally like Southern California temperatures, they do on occasion have snow, and so it's a little problematic that the shepherds would have been out in the field at that point, and so therefore probably more than likely that Jesus wasn't born during that time. And we can have this conversation on and on and on and on and on and on. The reality is, on December 25th, we are going to celebrate Jesus coming to this earth. We'll remember the story that took place for these shepherds. And whether it happened on December 25th is irrelevant. The point is that it happened. It was one moment in time that affected all moments in time. It was one moment in time for you and for me to literally change the outcome of this world. We have trees, we have lights, we have presents, and all of them pale in comparison to the greatest gift this world has ever seen, the God of the universe stepping into space and time for you and for me. It's not a grandiose story by a bunch of crazy people sitting out on the hillside. He chose to speak to the least of these, to have an encounter with them, to redeem the unheard and unseen, so that all the world could know that he was who he said he was. So as we conclude this morning and we go into this Christmas season, maybe you feel like one of the shepherds. Maybe in COVID, throughout this season, you felt less than or unseen, like your voice doesn't matter, or you felt discounted. You're in great company. God sees you and knows you today, in this moment, in this hour, and wants to be present with you. If you feel that deep down in your soul, then we have a priority to share that story in this season, in this moment, to share the hope that these little ones shared with us earlier today. The hope of the Savior of the world come for you and for me. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the truths listed in Luke chapter 2. We thank you for choosing the least of these so that the least of these would feel seen. Lord, I pray as we press in and we get closer to December 25th that those who have felt like the least of these are unseen, Lord, I ask that you would radiate that same glory that you did through the angels 2,000 years ago. That you would wrap us in your warm embrace. That we would see and experience your love and your peace. And I pray that peace in to all of us this morning. Lord Jesus, give us ears to hear, minds to conceive, mouths to confess the great truths of the Christmas story in this season. In your name we pray.